his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. Giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Here's today's message from Pastor Dr. Daryl Orman.
Amen. Give everybody some love, okay? Praise the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. So tomorrow we're having our senior adult activity for this month, and it's our luncheon, and we're having Holy Bird fried chicken and the corned beef and cabbage to celebrate. And you better wear green or you're going to get a pinch. We're going to have official pinchers to give you a pinch. And we've got a special speaker, Dr. John Keith. He's the Extension Growth Director for the Treasure Coast Baptist Association. He'll be with us as our guest speaker. And I'd love to have you come. And then in the lobby, our graphics folks have printed up a door hanger for us. And I'd like to encourage all of you to at least get three or four, half a dozen or so. And as a target, hang one on the door across the street from you and one on both sides of you. If you live in a condo, upstairs, downstairs, both sides, and you say, well, I'm nervous about that. Well, do it at night when they're not looking, okay? Just sneak over there, hang it on the doorknob, run home fast as you can, you know. But I want to encourage you to get some of these and help hand them out to those around you. And that way, if they show up, you can look for them and relate to them. You could sit with them, you know, on Easter Sunday and hopefully help bring them into Christ, into the body, help disciple them. And then also we've got in the sale, want to encourage you, if you're our guest today, to tear off the little preparation, fill that out, place it in the offering plate so we can get to know you. And then tonight we've got our ladies' Bible study, our men's Bible study, and they're going to be excellent. We're going to have a great time together. I want to encourage you to come and take part in that. And then March 21st, this coming Friday, our widow and widowers are having their dinner at Pig and Cattle, so I want to encourage you to take part in that as well. And then if you look on the sale, if you open it up on the little flap with the guest information, there's, at the bottom of the calendar, a spaghetti luncheon for our youth, and so I want you to be aware of that and help us. That's a fundraiser for our youth camp, and help us get that going as well. And there are no activities this Wednesday night due to spring break, and I want to commend all of you for coming on spring break Sunday. Amen. Many of you came last Sunday, time change. I mean, you're a real champion, so praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Pray with me, please, over our offering. Father in heaven, long may your name be glorified above all this world, above everything else in our lives, Father, because nothing else in all this world matters except for us to live our lives for you and you alone. We thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart. We thank you for the worship team bringing us into a spirit of worship. Father, we pray that you'll bless this time and fill this room with your Holy Spirit. We love you and praise you and welcome you. Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to thank all of you for praying for my sister. I got an update from her, called her a couple of days ago, and she has gone through 6 mini dialyses, and they have been able each time to bring her creatinine level down drastically. And she said now for the last week they haven't given her a treatment because they're waiting to see if her kidneys will function, and hoping that they believe that they're going to possibly completely kick back in and work for her. Right now, her creatinine level's rising about 2% a day, and just gradually bumps up. And so if you could continue to pray for that, we appreciate it. She's had opportunities to share Christ, and the bed next to her was a Muslim woman that one day had 37 visitors, and so Sissy got to bear Jesus to them, and so it's turned into a little mission field, and they're actually really showing a lot of deference to my sister because they normally don't continue dialysis for those that are over 50 years old, actually, in the government system in Africa. And so they're talking to her about if she needs to, she could commute over to their hospital. They'd keep current on her and her records. So thank you for your prayers. Some unusual things are happening for her, and we really thought she was gone about 3 weeks ago. And so it's a miracle. Thank you so much for your prayers. Amen. So today we're concluding our study on the fruit of the Spirit and the personality traits, the 9th installment of this. I hope it's been a blessing to you. And today I'd like for us to begin. If you've got the notes, look at the top. And I've kind of constructed together from different sources a definition for us on self-control, biblical self-control. And so let's look at that together. In fact, let's, if you would, read it with me together on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Self-control is when we use our determined will to avoid temptation, compromise, and conformity to the world and its values. It's applied to our thoughts, words, actions, and attitudes as we bring them in line with the will of Christ. So we want to look at that today for a little bit in each of our lives and some of the statements of Scripture relating to this. If you've got your Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at a familiar passage together beginning in verse 24. Here we see the Apostle Paul talking about this idea of self-control, self-discipline. Discipline fits right in with this control. It has to do with our determinations in our mind, in our heart, what we decide to do, what we're going to do in living for Christ. And so temptation's a part of it, to avoid temptation, and also conformity to the world. He says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, "And I beg you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And so God wants us, with our self-discipline, to demonstrate the character of Christ, demonstrate the personality of Christ to those around us. So as we look at this passage together, 1 Corinthians 9, beginning in verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath or a trophy, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified." So in this, we see a number of things relating to self-control in our life. And of course, They're using, the Spirit of God's using the athletic analogy and the idea of competing and preparing to compete and the disciplines involved with that. So the first thing we want to recognize is we exercise self-control to be rewarded by God. This is in our first verse, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And so you and I need to recognize that every day you're living here on earth, every day I'm living here on earth, that there is a, if you will, a score in heaven. And every day of our life here on earth, God is watching every minute detail, every thought, every attitude, every action of our lives all day long, every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And we are each day getting closer and closer and closer to our graduation point. Now, it can happen in several ways. You and I are privileged to be at the end of days, the end of prophecy days, and I could go on, and I have gone on for that for quite a while in relationship to prophecy and all that. But we also recognize that as we're getting older every day, we're getting one day closer to eternity. Now, we had some kids that left here for children's church a little bit ago, and we've got a number of seniors here. And if we look around, we might say, well, you know, this 98-year-old, we had a 98-year-old in the service last week, a retired pastor of 40 years, and at the end, he came forward to compliment me and encourage me and ask him to pray for me. And it was a wonderful prayer. In fact, it was such a great prayer. I asked him to go pray for Kim in the lobby. By the way, keep Kim in your prayers. She got up real nauseated this morning, and no, she's not. Ask him to go. But so, or otherwise, we're going to get very wealthy all of a sudden. But so, anyway, we see that we think and we say, well, that 98-year-old man, he's right on the threshold, right on the doorstep. He's about to go. Could be one of these children. They could be riding their bicycle and get run over, be in a car wreck, be in a boating accident. We've had a student in our school that went into eternity from a boating accident with the family. So we just don't know, but we know we're going. And so he says, in light of this, you and I need to recognize that each day that we are moving closer and closer to, some will say they went to their reward. You know, they went into eternity and they went to their reward. Now, you and I are getting closer and closer to standing before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ for Christians and giving an account for our lives. So today, as you're sitting there, you might want to whirl back over your past week and say, what did I do for Jesus this past week? Or we just took the offering a little bit ago. What did I give the Lord this week? I just saw a statistic this morning, 2.7% of evangelicals tithe. That's pitiful, really. And 2.7, you know. And of all evangelical Christians, recognize God financially in a faithful way like that. So we see this idea of competing and competing for a prize. I'd like to challenge you for your own personal Bible study to Google crowns in the New Testament. There's five different types of reward crowns that are given, and maybe I'll do that study later this year. We've done it before. These are crowns that God gives us for different things. One is a martyr's crown. One is a soul-winning crown for winning people to Jesus. Each person you win to Christ, God will give you a crown for winning them to Christ. Another is for suffering. And so there are these crowns, like he's talking about here, that self-discipline, that self-control in our life that they bring to us. Now, you say, well, I don't want any crowns. Well, we're going to heaven to see Jesus, and we can't take anything with us. So if you want to give him something out of appreciation for everything he's done for you, forgiving all your sins, being merciful, providing for you, taking care, answering your prayers, giving you joy, peace, the abundant life. If you want to thank him for that and you want to give him something in heaven, you're going to have to earn some of these crowns. And that is something that we'll throw at his feet and be able to get. It's like there's a big birthday party and no one's allowed to bring gifts. And as soon as you walk in, the wealthy host family hands each one of the guests a gift and says, give this to the birthday boy. Give this, give this, give this. And they hand out the gifts. This is what we're talking about here. And so here we see this idea of the rewards. The exercise of self-control will be rewarded by God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul said this was a major motivation in his life, is to press on for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and to be rewarded. And so I would really like for every person seated here today, every person listening, that you would strive in your life to be highly rewarded as you go into eternity. We cannot take anything here with us. The measure of our greatness will not be our accumulation in this life. The measure of our greatness will be our servitude, our submission to God, and our generosity to God, his purposes, as we go into eternity. And so we see this first aspect. Number two, we exercise self-control in everything we do. And God wants us to be exercising this control. One of the first verses I learned as a baby Christian is Colossians 3:23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So the idea with that is, as we work and serve and show self-control in this life, that whatever we do, we should do it for the excellence of Christ. You go to work, say you're a carpenter, whatever you nail or screw or glue together, you should do it for the excellence of it, for the glory of God. You're keeping up your home, you know, being a witness to your neighbors. Everything we do, we should do to the excellence of the glory of God in our life and have exercise that kind of control where we're not doing it for other people. If you're still employed, some of you here are still employed, you shouldn't be showing up to please your boss. You should be showing up to please God. Can I hear an amen? And so here we see this idea of exercising self-control. This is in verse 25, where he says, "And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable prize or wreath, but we an imperishable," something that lasts forever in our lives. The word there, competes, is the Greek word agatadidzomai. Say that together. No, not really. Agatadidzomai, and it's the idea of agony, and it's the idea of going through pain. Yeah, as we compete, one of our deacons, Mario Cobo, competes in Ironman triathlons. And he, one time on the Keys, he ran a race of 100 miles. And near the end of it, I don't remember how many miles of it, maybe the last 10 miles or whatever, his feet were bleeding. His socks and shoes were filled, you know, covered with blood. And that kind of a run, because he was really running at a pace trying to compete in it, and that takes a lot of self-discipline. And the idea of bringing our body into control, and here we see that this self-control is to be an aspect of our life as we serve Christ here in this verse. And we compete in the games and we exercise self-control in all things. And so you and I need to recognize that God wants us to do that in our lives. You need to be disciplined in your daily devotions. You need to read the Word of God on a daily basis. And as y'all know, and I've championed it for 30 plus years here, the one-year Bible, because it's divided up, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalm, and a Proverb every day, January 1st, 2nd, 3rd. And the reason I do that and love that, and I've read through them around 30 times plus in the last 40 years, there's a few years I don't finish it, and there's been several times that I didn't, but almost every year I read through the entire Bible and I use that. And the reason I do is because it has a natural discipline to it. It's already measured. If I forget my one-year Bible, I leave it here, we're gone on vacation for a week or whatever, I may fall a week behind. When I come back, I read two at a time with that discipline and catch up again. Right now, I'm actually ahead a couple of days. So I did not read my daily one-year Bible this morning because I'm ahead a couple of days. And sometimes I'll do that if I think timing's going to be tight on a day or something like that. But the idea of discipline and the idea of worshiping Jesus and not casting it aside for any flimsy reason. I went to the pastor, the Treasure Coast Baptist Association pastors meeting this week on Thursday. And while I was there, they talked about last Sunday, Time Change Sunday. There are around 35 pastors there. And they virtually all agreed that they had a horrible low turnout last week because people use the excuse of time change. You know, like we say, the dog ate my homework. And, the time changed and I can't do that and blah, blah, blah. Any excuse will do. But the discipline, the self-control will say, it's the time to worship Jesus. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I'm voting for Christ. It's the right thing to do. And I'm forsaking not the assembling of myself with others. And so we see this aspect of self-control. And then we exercise self-control for eternal benefits. Look in the second half of verse 25. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. And again, back to the idea of being rewarded. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So the idea of living for eternal benefits and that. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go fishing with a young man who's a prospect for our church. And he's Hispanic. He's from Ecuador. And he's got an earned doctor's degree and Catholic background, was educated at a couple of Catholic colleges, a Catholic college, Catholic university. And so we fished and then we had lunch together and he asked me, what's the difference between Catholics and Baptists? So we had a fun discussion. And, he said, it's really all the same, isn't it? The Trinity, the virgin birth, the resurrection. I said, yes, all those things are the same. And then I went through and delineated the differences between the two. What was going to be a quick lunch after fishing wound up 2 hours later. And I loved it. He loved it. I loved it. We had a great discussion. I was able to just elaborate on some of the differences, you know, between the two. And the fact that as Baptists, we're not Protestants. Did you know that? Deafening silence. You're in the hospital. Are you a Catholic or a Protestant? Neither. I'm an evangelical. And there is a difference. And the Baptists never protested the Catholic Church. We never tried to reform the Catholic Church. The Presbyterians did. You know, the Lutherans did. You know, but we didn't. And us and others, we're evangelicals. And the difference, one of the biggest differences is baptism of believers, that we are to be immersed, of the immersing of believers after we're saved. Now, this young man yesterday was baptized as a baby, and I said, so at what month did you make that decision? And he said, I didn't make that decision. My parents did, of course. I mean, he had no decision in it. When you're baptizing a baby, pedo-baptism, you might as well be baptizing a baked potato, because they don't have any volition in it. But really, it's the covenant of the parents, I know, to separate them from sin and try to wash their original sin away. But in actuality, in the New Testament, we see the baptism of believers. I've given my life to Christ, therefore, I'm going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And so we see this idea of our eternal benefits and the idea of sharing those eternal benefits. And I think really bumping this young man along the road. And he said, when can we fish again? So I have another discipleship opportunity with him. And hopefully someday we'll see him here. But we exercise self-control for eternal benefits. And then also, number four, we exercise self-control with discipline and intentionality. Look in verse 26. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. And so here we see the idea of being intentional in our self-control, our self-discipline, that we're lining it out. One of my favorite illustrations of this years ago was the Olympic sprinter, Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson ran the 200-meter sprint, the 400-meter sprint, faster than any man in the world. In fact, in both of them, he won multiple gold medals. And in both events, he set world records at the time. And it's interesting, if you look, he's a believer. And someone gave me his biography. I've got it. And when you go through it and look at it, here's one of the interesting things about the discipline. Number one, he was a very unusual runner. He ran upright. Like, you know, a lot of them are bent over and going, and he ran very upright with his legs just whipping underneath him. And in fact, he looked a lot like Eric Dickerson, the NFL player. He ran the same way, very upright. And so tremendous speed, world record speed. But what a lot of people don't know is Michael Johnson did not miss a training session for 27 years. How many of you have had physical therapy? Raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you have missed one of the sessions? Raise your hands. Let's be honest. Okay, at least half or more. Here's a man who, we've got Hurdler on there. He wasn't a hurdler. And he never missed a training session. Rain, cold. Even when he was sick, feeling sick, there's a bunch of times he went and he trained when he was sick. And that's how he did that. That's how he set world records. That's why how he won multiple gold medals over several Olympics, because of that work ethic and that discipline. I had the opportunity in high school to play basketball, and when I was in middle school, I didn't start. I wasn't very good. And then high school, not so much the first couple of years, but by the time I got to my senior year, I was the most valuable player on our team and the most valuable player in our league, although it was a Christian league. It's mostly white boys, and, you know, the old saying, white men can't jump. But it helped get me a college scholarship, and I was able to play for a couple of colleges. It was interesting that when I was in high school, I couldn't dunk the basketball. I could dunk a volleyball, but I couldn't dunk a basketball. And so that's just a no-go for college basketball. I mean, there's 5 foot five guards that can slam it down with two hands. And so in the discipline that, when practice was over at Northwest Junior College, I would run the stairs after everyone was done. And I would start trying to practice dunking the basketball. I took extra classes in weightlifting, and I lifted with my legs. I did whatever I could on the side to make sure that I could do that, and to the point where I could dunk the basketball with two hands. Now, I can't even touch the net. But maybe I need to work on that some. But it takes work and discipline. Now, when we apply ourselves that way in Christ, like, what am I going to do to improve my life? Last week, our men's Bible study was on holiness. And that's being set apart to God more and more and more and more. What are we doing to set ourselves apart to God more and more and more and more? If you ask yourself, how am I more like Christ now than I was this time last year? Or this time last month? The idea of self-control, self-discipline, for us to move on in our intentionality in becoming like God and becoming like Christ. Number five, we exercise self-control over our physical bodies to maintain our testimonies. Verse 27, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. So here the term there, buffet, is also hupotasso. It means to keep it under you, to keep it standing under you, to keep it where it should be. Now, you might say, well, that's physical. It's mostly spiritual. It's mostly spiritual, where we say no to things, no to temptations. We remove things from our life that will tempt us. I mean, if you're tempted to steal, don't become an accountant. You know. And if you're tempted to look at the wrong things, don't get alone with your cell phone. The cell phone's been the number one, the smartphone, the number one technology to cause pornography to blow up all over the world. When kids can get alone, it used to be the computer and you turn the screen toward the door or the main part of the living area and you'd see and know what people were doing and looking at. And now it's all the anonymity of a phone, but it's not anonymous. Google keeps everything. In fact, you may not know this, but Google, if you are typing, you know, an email or a text, and you're wanting to send it to somebody because you're upset and you're going to set them straight and you think about it a minute and you say, nah, that's too hard, I'm not going to do it, and you delete it, Google kept it. You think, it's gone, I deleted it. No. They keep everything. All your metadata. The only one that knows more about you than your smartphone is God. And so we see this idea that we're to exercise ourselves in this aspect of our life in many ways. Now, physical exercise. In Scripture, it says bodily gain is of little profit, but when we exercise ourselves unto godliness, that lasts for eternity. And that's absolutely true. If it's a choice between you being lean, mean, fighting machine spiritually and a big old fat guy on the outside, choose the lean, mean, spiritual fighting machine. That's the more valuable. But he does say there's a little profit in exercise. Now, I may not look it, but I ride a bike 2.5 to 3 miles 4 or 5 times a week, come home, jump in our pool, do 100 leg raises, and I've got those styrofoam dumbbells I've been doing lately in there. And actually, underwater, they feel like weight. And so I do that, you know, and the idea of working out and trying to stay somewhat healthy. And it's important to do that. You keep moving and you will win. I've told this to some of our folks that are in the assisted living, the nursing homes. If you can't walk anymore, get in that chair and sit in it and roll yourself up and down the hallway. I gave that advice to one of our widows this past week. Roll yourself up, do something physical, and physical exercise. And the longer you're up and walking, even if it hurts, walk. Stay up, stay mobile. When I've watched people here for 33 years degrade in their health and then finally go meet the Lord. And that moving is number one. Number one. So we see here this idea of Scripture. He buffets his body. He makes it his slave. He says no to his body. You need to say no. Sometimes it's discipline in the things we say with our mouth. You and your wife are getting into it. Emotions are going up, tit for tat. That was offensive. Now it's your turn. Now it's their turn. Back and forth. Nah, nah, nah. You know, you need to sometimes show some self-control and discipline. Just say, I'm not doing this anymore. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth fighting over not changing out the toilet paper roller? Is that really worth a sullen day of life? Or not putting the dishes in the dishwasher? I mean, come on, really? Is that worth a day of argument and sullenness and quietness and anger? And so the idea of self-control is even where we say, I'm not going to do that. You don't have to say everything you think. In fact, if you'll eliminate half of it, this year will be a better year for you. Just shut down half of what you're thinking, you know, and don't say it. Don't express it. So I want to close with this. Self-control has three benefits. Self-assertion. You feel better when you take control of your life. You feel better when you make your decisions. You don't let life whip you around. You decide how to go through life, and you make those decisions. And then secondly, self-fulfillment. You get the benefits of the self-control and self-discipline. You won't argue as much as a couple. You know, your health will be better. You know, your walk in Christ will be better. You'll be more productive in Jesus. You'll have a more fulfilling life. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than to do something for Christ and then see the fulfillment of it. We were in life group today. Tim's a new member, Tim and Monica, at church, and he has a graphic design degree, and he's taught design and all that. And as a new member here, newly baptized here, he said, Pastor, we'll do something for Jesus. Why don't you use your skill and make us a sign? The "You Must Be Born Again" sign on the farm, Tim designed it and paid for it and had it installed. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we rehearsed today. There's over 50,000 vehicles go by that every day. Every day, Tim's witnessing to 100,000 people or more. Wow. And there's so many things like that we can think of. What can I do? Well, one thing, you can take some door hangers and hang them in your neighborhood. I mean, you don't have to put a sign on the farm, but you can hang some door hangers or hand them out. And we see this idea of the self-fulfillment. Then self-preservation. Your life will improve. If you're just sullen on the side, you know, nobody's friendly, nobody asks me for coffee or lunch or anything. And well, be the friend. Look up somebody new here and you go to them. Say, let's go get a cup of coffee, or let's go for lunch. And you be the one. You initiate. You do this, and your life will improve. You invite some of the families to come to our Easter musical, and they come, or Easter Sunday. And I guarantee you that's going to be a great day for you. You can't wait to get here. to experience it with them, you know, to see God work in their life, and hopefully maybe even if they're unchurched, for them to get saved and give their life to Jesus. So self-control has these benefits: self-assertion, self-fulfillment, and self-preservation. So today I just want to encourage you, let this be part of your goals for this year, that to take more control of your life and to be more self-assertive with intentionality in fulfilling Christ's call for your life. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today. And Lord, I thank you for what you share with us in Scripture about taking control of our life. I thank you, Lord, that you desire for us to buffet our body. You desire for us not to beat the air. You desire for us to be intentional in what we're doing. And I know that begins with our relationship with you, dear God. And I ask you, please, Almighty God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, to knock at hearts' doors. And for anyone that doesn't really know you personally, they know about you, they know theology, but they don't know you. I ask you, please, to knock at their heart's door and draw them to yourself. And I'd like to invite you right now, in the presence of God's Spirit, to just ask yourself, do I really know God? Do I really know Jesus personally? Do I have a living, weekly, daily relationship with him? Or is this simply a religious exercise? And if you're not sure, or you're sure you're not, I'd like to invite you right now, as God is listening and the Spirit is present, to just say, Almighty God, forgive me of all my sins and allow your Son Jesus to live in my life and take control of me. And Lord, I love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to extend our invitation now. And again, do business with God, whatever he wants you to do. Maybe you have a prayer request, a praise. Maybe the Lord's speaking to your heart about believer's baptism or membership or whatever the case might be. Maybe you have a prayer request. We want to invite you to respond to God this morning as we have our invitation. Let's stand together and sing.
Are you?
Please be seated. Larry Hughes is one of our deacons. Larry is going to come, and he has a testimony to share with you, and is going to close us in prayer.
Okay. A couple of things Pastor wanted me to share with you, and as you all know, this is tax season. And if you have an IRA and you get over 70 and a half, you have to start drawing something out of it. And my tax person, I said, well, how long does that go? And he showed me the chart, and you're supposed to have everything out of it by 102. So, so anyway, if you take that out of your IRA and have the company you have that with send it directly to the church, then it comes off the top of your income. So it comes off your, like your salary or what, I mean, it comes off of your top of your income, not as an itemized thing. So that's very helpful, and the church gets the benefit of it. And the pastor, I'm on the school committee, and he brought up the fact that he's sending out these envelopes with 10 envelopes in them, and wants us to do above our tithe, so month to month, for the Reborn Farm. And in that meeting, or going home one, I don't recall, the Lord spoke to me and told me how much I'm to give on that monthly thing, plus my regular tithe. And that's what I'm doing. Put in the first one today. So I would like for you to challenge you to do the same as well. $5, $10, whatever. $100,000 would be good too. So, whatever you think.
Is that what you're giving?
No. So, I'm not wealthy. I'm comfortable, but I'm not wealthy. But anyway, I really would like for y'all to consider that. And let's see some blocks go up out there at Reborn Farm for a new church. And so the Lord asked me, or the pastor asked me, to share that with you and to lead you in prayer. So let's have our closing prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you that we have been born in the United States of America. And I praise you and thank you for this church and all of its members. And we just ask, dear God, that you bless each one, that you do your will in each one of our lives, each and every day. And help us to become more disciplined in doing what you want us to do and has commanded us to do. And if there's anyone here that does not know you as personal Savior, that they will come to know you as personal Savior before they leave this building. We just ask that you would be with us as we go out through this week. Keep us healthy, keep us safe, and bless us as only you can. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Dr. Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The strength and greatness of America was not an accident, but a direct result of basic Bible theology and a traditional philosophy of education. At First Baptist Christian School, we are totally committed to a traditional philosophy of education. It permeates our whole curriculum. First Baptist Christian School is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stuart, Florida. We observe open admission, and we would welcome a personal visit from you anytime at our campus on West Ocean Boulevard. For further information regarding enrollment, please call the school office at 287-5161. First Baptist Christian School, equipping students for Christ through kingdom education.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why Life Group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning Life Group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Daryl asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stewart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again." I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stewart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart, stuart.org, and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options, and then there, if you would check Radio Broadcast Supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstuart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stuart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Greetings, WCNO family. Our spring prayer and chair begins Monday, March 31st at 7 a.m. We look forward to these coming days to celebrate God's blessings and share His vision for this ministry. As always, we need your God-led support, your faithful generosity in Christ. Remember, it all begins Monday, March 31st.
Time has its rainy days. Every mountain has its valleys, and true love has a price to pay. But you never let us down. You never disappoint us. You always keep your word. You always come through for us. We don't always understand your timing, but as we walk this world with you, we're finding, Lord, that you never let us down. You never disappoint. Sometimes they fall. Summertime has its rainy days.